Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and to your guest there.
Good afternoon.
I heard Alf was speaking just now, but Alf, you've missed one thing, Beijing lettuce.
Yes, sir. I agree. And because it's good, it's good for your stomach.
A lot of people like this iceberg thing, right? I don't like the iceberg thing.
Mm.
I like my Beijing lettuce.
Mm.
I cut out. I hear you talk about rice. I cut out rice totally.
Mm.
So my dad, basically, I like Beijing lettuce, no other lettuce. I like to eat my tomatoes, cucumber. I drink a lot of water. I boil my water, put it down overnight, strain it off with a paper filter. Sometimes I get some blue vervain, and I drink that.
Mm-hmm.
Lettuce, cucumber, tomato. I eat my squash, pumpkin. I cut out English potatoes also. Any rice, if I decide to eat anything, I will get a bag of black rice.
Mm.
And I will use that maybe once a month.
But so you said black rice? You mean brown rice?
No.
There's black rice. Wild rice.
And I will use that maybe once a month, if anything. But basically, I concentrate on pumpkin, squash, sweet potato. My salad must always be Beijing lettuce. And you see the pipe water, I boil that. I don't drink any bottled water. And I find that I don't get up lazy. I don't drink any more sweet drinks. And, you know, it's a curve, and sometimes you feel in the night that you want to eat something or something, but I get up just like you and drink water.
Sanka, I let me reply. Well, compliment the gentleman. I'm happy that men are calling. I'll tell you why. Red fruits and vegetables, Sanka, contain something that men need. And that's
clean.
Right. So you have the strawberries, mm-hmm. you have those red fruits and tomatoes and those. And as men, we need to put more of that into our system. And I'm happy that he's saying that. Because even the local Beijing cherries, they contain more vitamin C than the ones coming in. So we need to embrace and get back to the days where we are growing our own stuff in our own backyard. That also minimizes the chemicals too. So I'm happy. Also, men need to understand that when you reach a certain age, men, your prostate has to be looked after. Your heart has to be looked after. They all work together. So therefore, men, if you want to continue to function at your optimum, you need to eat properly, gentlemen, so that at the call of anything, you are able
to rise to the occasion
and live well. You understand what I'm saying? I mean.
But one more thing, Alf.
Yes, sir.
You see this cook food?
Yes, please.
What I realize now, right?
Yes, please.
I steam all of my food now.
Yes, mm. yes.
I do not boil anything.
Mm.
I steam all of my food. And if I do decide to eat a piece of chicken, I bake it. I don't, they got these small grills that you buy and you just put the chicken
that's
on.
That's right. It's almost like rotisserie, yes.
Mm. Exactly. So I cut out a lot of that, and I'm dragging my wife slowly along with me. Well, she's putting on a little bit, so I'm dragging her slowly. But you know, them in the sex want to fight. You got to taste this and taste that. So.
Sir, did you eat your Sunday food already? Be careful.
No. Listen, Alf, I put on my sweet potato to steam, some beets, a piece of broccoli, and that's it, and a piece of baked chicken. I'm the cook.
Oh, you're the cook. Okay, well, that's fair. You're controlling the kitchen. What I would also want to add is that even fish, we tend to overcook fish. Fish would take 2-3 minutes on each side, and not a lot of oil, but we have this dark, we need it fry. So we fry everything and frying
to death.
To death.
Yeah.
And the vegetables, do it closer to its natural state. So somebody, you leave it in there for 20 minutes, so you're taking all the nutrients. So let us understand that, in fact, I have tasted sweet potato raw. And it didn't do me anything. We have to eat our foods whole and closer to its natural state instead of taking all this stuff. And then people, their hands get heavy with the salt. I mean, we put the salt into everything, and a lot of the seasonings have been salt. And then we want to know what is happening. So much so that my taste buds, I'm very sensitive now to salt because they don't cook with salt. Mm-hmm. So you taste it, it's like, there's gone in a lot of salt. Yes. You've gone in a lot of sugar. And we have outlets that need to operate. There's a reason why God gave us pores, because we have to drink water and we have to sweat. There's a reason for different things. So we have to put it in and it's going to come out. You drinking too much water, it is not going to harm you. Drink the water. It is good for you.
All right, Carla.
The last thing before I go, if you steam the vegetables, you don't need any salt.
No.
And Bajan lettuce is the best lettuce. If you knew that, knew some Bajan lettuce from the day out when you get it, it's going to be hard for the first, but eat a leaf.
If you have some home, you can bring some for me.
You know that in a problem. I live in St. Philip, too.
I'll be back in St. Joe's this afternoon.
All right, caller. Thank you. Let's just take another call. Brass Act Sunday, you're on the air. Go right ahead. You're on the air. Please stop listening to your radio. Listen to your phone. That person is listening. You were saying, Lennox.
Oh, the reason with the lettuce is that if you look at the lettuce you was talking about, the imported lettuce and the Bajan lettuce grows so the leaves are open, so it gets more sunlight, so you get more chlorophyll and you get more antioxidants involved than the lettuce that leaves are close together. That is why our lettuce is such a better lettuce. And the sweet potato. But I want people to do the sweet potato in the right way.
And lift the skin.
You have to eat the skin. So you wash it good first. You're either baking it or you're stewing it, slicing, eating the skin. Because under the skin of the sweet potato is where all the vitamins and minerals are. So in the old days, you used to give the pigs the best part of the potato.
The one that got and looks so good, it tastes so good.
Well, that's what people say. That's why the meat is so good. On the countryside. And the next thing is that guavas also have a lot of lycopene in them. They're local guavas.
That's right.
Anything the pink, so they're good for us, especially the men.
The seeds.
And the seeds, yeah. So eat the guavas.
Another thing is the sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
You know, when we mash the potatoes, you change the texture of the potatoes, and you bring it from a complex carbohydrate then to...
So all the sugars
float quickly, yeah. So...
Go back and think of how the older people ate. And they'll call it stretch out food. Mm-hmm. They didn't mash up things. They had the sweet potato, the breadfruit there. But in our fast-paced world, we mash up everything because it's easier to serve mash up stuff and scoop.
That's why I walked around this side to ask a question, because there are two things I wanted to hear you address. One is the question of lifestyle and taste, because I always tell people it's acquired taste. I remember saying on radio one day, the breast milk don't taste good, and I got taken to task asking how I knew. So I had to explain that I had children, and you know, I used to shake the bottle on my hand. I had a good excuse.
Yeah.
But the second thing is, Alf raised it and kind of brushed over it. Mm-hmm. But the business that I'm in, the business that we're in, you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to open a radio station at 5. You work till 10, then you do brass tacks till 2, and then you edit, I'm talking about me, and you finish at about 2:30. Now, breakfast, lunch, dinner, that routine goes out the door. And if you work an early morning shift and then you do a close down shift on Thursday, which means you come in at 6 or 7 in the night and you work till 1 o'clock next morning, getting yourself in the regime and eating becomes a major challenge. Mm-hmm. And what happens? Alf brushed it over and you talk about people who, you know, do what he does, which is do shows and things. And you can't eat nuts because nuts just cramp up your throat.
Right.
And I'm glad you said tea, because I'm a tea baby. Mm-hmm. I don't drink soft drinks, which is why everybody. But getting yourself into a regime when you have people who work in media and work shift, even hotel workers who work shift, 3 days on, 2 days in the night, one day in the morning, it's difficult for them to develop a regime. Not that they can't, but it's difficult for them to do it. So they fall into the eat anything when you can. Because this thing about getting up at midnight and having a snack, I don't know what that is. I'd be awake at midnight. I don't care. I'd be at my computer at 2 o'clock
in the morning. You drink your tea?
Yeah, it's always there. Yeah. You know, I can't drink for a thimble like that.
If you look at the first issue of taste, always remember that we were born with no taste. So we acquire taste. Mm-hmm. And that is why, I remember years ago, our mothers would put salt or sugar in baby food. Because they would taste the food and say, it don't taste good. But it tastes great to the baby because the baby was developing the taste. But it was an adult putting their spin
on it,
the child.
Yes,
on the child. So it's just like if you use sugar and you want to come off and get people to come off slowly, you give yourself a few months, I mean a few weeks, and then people are shocked that they're drinking the tea or coffee full of sugar, and they love it. Brown rice is the same thing. I get people to mix brown rice with the white rice, and every week they're adding more brown rice to the white rice, and then they're shocked that they're only eating brown rice.
Brown rice.
Because they've acquired the taste. So you got to find ways. If not, people do it today and say, I don't taste, got it done with that. How long you stay? One day. Can't work, you know? So you got to give people these things. Then the other thing you talk about is very important. You get persons like in the police force, for example. And a lot of them will tell you they spend a lot of time eating at the gas stations. Because when you're there at night, what else is open? They leave home early in the day, they're on long shifts, so they eat what is there. See your body. To correct that, you have to become very disciplined. So you would have to get up and prepare your foods and bring it with you and so forth, and have it there, microwave it when you get a chance and so forth. But that takes time and it takes discipline. You can't do it when you wake up at 7, you got to leave home at 7:30. Can't work. So you got to think about it. You got to do it. And you got to, but it can be done. Which is something that I think more and more people have to think about. How they can rearrange their day with their food and so forth and still eat healthy. It can be done. But it takes a little time and effort.
What I want to do here is to deal with a couple of messages because we have quite a few. This one is saying, I'm a 13-year colon cancer survivor and I can tell you that we also have to avoid at all costs processed foods. More fruit, vegetables, slow food, and raw food. After 4 hours of surgery to remove the cancer and then 6 months of chemo on top of that, it is not an experience that I would like to relive. Congrats to those in the studio for their lifestyle change. And we have, there's so many. Okay, we have this other one, awesome show. Talk about which fruits and vegetables are sprayed, especially imported, and where in Barbados can you find organic farmers? How do you know which ones are sprayed? Can you tell by looking at them? Anyone wants to talk about that?
That's difficult. I know on Sundays there's an organic market, somewhere wholesale, where people grow organic stuff, they're all meat. So you can go there. In some supermarkets too, you'll see produce that's marked organic. Okay. There's a label that you have to look for. I know in the States, there's a label that is put on products that are organic. In Barbados, I don't think we've reached that point. People tell you the stuff is organic. Remember yesterday, I got some watermelon from you, and the guy said this was
grown
in St. Philip under organic conditions. So.
No pesticides.
But it's accepting. His word, that is so, you know.
Okay. What does the panel think about eating various bean sprouts and living greens?
Oh, same thing. Beans, I mean, that's good whole. Anything whole is good. So if you're eating green, the sprouted stuff, that's excellent for you. Just have to acquire the taste. Always remember that plant-based stuff is excellent stuff. It has no cholesterol. It's very good for you. But there's a little thing here. Because when we try to get people to eat more beans and so forth, and like avocado, excellent product to get protein, lots of protein. But the problem with avocado is that we eat the whole thing one time with some salt and things. We're supposed to eat a couple of slices. Another phenomenon I find that when people eat beans and so forth to get protein, they still put the chicken leg because we've been schooled in Barbados that you get protein from meat. So some boys say, yeah, you know, I use the beans and peas too, but to make sure, I shall eat a pork chop, you know? to make sure. You know, so we have these things that we talk about and we all laugh, but we're learning.
But you know, increasingly you're now getting the green peas, brown peas, black-eyed peas, black beans, all these things in cans.
Yes.
Are they any good or are they full of salt?
They're full of salt.
What is recommended though is that you wash the, you know, you put them in the colander and you wash off all of that salt before you use them. But preferably is to buy the ones that you have to cook.
My plant a pea tree now.
Plant a pea tree.
You know, I grew up with a grandmother who had a garden.
She had everything in it.
Plant a pea tree, plant your own. I mean, you don't have to have a big thing. Get a little bucket.
Two lettuce can go in there.
Something, just plant something.
Like I mean, at home, I plant kale, tomatoes.
And you didn't invite me, sir?
Lettuce, spinach, everything in pots. So we don't, we just go, my wife goes every morning, cut some, clip some kale, and then come back, and we got our veggies right there.
And you can build a shake from that. Hmm? You could do a shake from that.
Oh yes.
Because sometimes what I do, Lennox, yeah, is I color coordinate for fun. Where I might say today is green. Mm-hmm. So I use majority of my stuff will be green, from kale to cucumber, everything green. Mm-hmm. Next day I might do yellow. So I might do a little piece of banana, orange, the squash, yellow. I might do red, the strawberry. So I do that to have some fun while I'm eating. Yeah. Instead of mixing up everything, I do, so you can have days of having fun of that.
Always remember that the prettier the vegetable, the more antioxidants it has.
Yes, sir.
So it's good for you. So the colors do matter.
Let's go to the next one. I would like to know if certain prescribed medications can contribute to diabetes, as more people are becoming suspicious of this possibility with good evidence.
Steroids. If you're on steroids, some people are on steroids for asthma and other conditions, mm-hmm, that can lead to diabetes. And some can lead to even type 1 diabetes and hypertension. So you've got to be careful. You've got to be open and honest with your health professionals and let them know what you're on. As a clinical pharmacist, that's what we look at, the interaction between your health conditions and your medication, to make sure sometimes, because sometimes that you can change your medication, and sometimes you just can't. You just have then to make some other adjustments.
And this is another one. I am a hypertensive female for approximately 10 years. So I've had to make lifestyle changes in terms of my diet and exercise. However, what I found to be complementary to keeping the weight under control is portion sizes on everything. Mm-hmm. And that's something we've dealt here with a lot in terms of keeping everything down, portion sizes. And this person is saying, Alf seems to be very short on water, as water intake should have been tops. To the guy with the blood thinners, as he mentioned, warfarin. If he can afford, he should try Eliquis. It's the best, but very expensive. 60 tablets for about $480 US. But the whole idea, I think, is that
Eliquis is a new class of the sort of blood thinners. They work well. You don't have to do the testing all the time as you would do on warfarin, but very expensive. And this is where things come in. Well, one of the things we talked about earlier, the cost of medication is a factor that you always got to be thinking about. Because it's always to say you should be on this and on that, but if you can't afford it, it becomes a problem. So I have people right now who, when we took some products off the formula, for example, they are available, but people have to buy them. So some people are buying them and still taking them every day. They're taking one every other day, and they make up their own schedule to suit how much money they have. And that's dangerous also. So you got to be very careful.
Okay, and do any of the guests ride bicycles? I do every day, and it's a great way to have fun, save and lose weight. Also, I eat rice almost every day, hardly much animal protein. Anyone else comment on that?
Well, I ride. The first time I went to the gym, I think I rode for 20 minutes, and that almost took my life. But then, I started then to set myself a challenge. I would ride, say, 20 minutes today. Tomorrow, I'd add on 5 minutes. Then I would ride 25 minutes. Then I ride to 30 minutes. Now I could ride. Last night I ride four. I went to the gym after work, and I rode for 67 minutes and burned 500 calories in the 67 minutes.
Okay.
So that was good. So riding, riding is a very good way of, you know, why I did, before I started the gym, I did research. And for me, I realized that because I wanted to lose weight, they say cardio. You have to do a lots of cardio to lose the weight. So after my research, that's what I did. I started my first month in the gym, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in the gym. All I did was cardio. Just did cardio and leave the gym. Mm-hmm. Right? And the weight started to come off just by doing cardio. So yes, I could tell the person that cycling is a good way to lose weight.
But for those who, there's some of us who thought of going into a gym is like, no. What would you suggest? I mean, why do you even need to go into a gym to exercise?
Well, you don't necessarily need to go into the gym to exercise, because walking is a form of exercise. I mean, like, some I went to England recently, and My cousin, she would get exercise by walking the dog every morning. She would take the dog out to walk. And for her, that was her form of exercise. So I'm not telling persons that they necessarily have to go in a gym to get it, to lose weight or to exercise, but they could start by walking, right? You know, do things that you enjoy doing. For me, I enjoy the gym. So because I enjoy the
gym. And yet you were not a gym person before.
I was never a gym person. I tell you, the first time I started the gym was the 3rd of January this year. And you would never believe how much I enjoy going to the gym. I mean, I just can't wait to get, sometimes I'm in the gym 5:30 in the morning, it's 5:45. I go and work for 8 o'clock. If I go and work for 8 o'clock, sometimes I'm in the gym at 5:30, 5:45. Go in and do an hour and then go back home and get ready for work because it's something I enjoy. So it's just to find something that you enjoy doing, a form of exercise that you enjoy, and just go with it.
Mm-hmm. Sanka, yeah. I want to add something that I forgot when I first came in. One of the reasons that I wanted to exercise was that in December, I was involved in a car accident that had my back in trouble. And so for 2 months, I was on sick leave, and I was attending the physiotherapist and chiropractor. I was still able to walk, but there was some pain, especially in the sciatic area. Now, how the body is set up is that once the core is weak, you feel it all in your back. And it was recommended that to strengthen that, I had to get rid of what was in front of here. And they said, okay. So that also propelled me because I was feeling the pain. Mm-hmm. When that started to ease up, the pain eased up as well.
In other words, to be precise, when the belly started coming down.
Yeah. That's right. I had the guts for the job to exercise. You know what I'm saying? Also, when I attended Beyond Fitness, the gym, I looked for a gym that appealed to me. All gyms didn't appeal to me. I didn't like a crowded gym. And it could be because I'm always out there in the public eye, so I wanted a little privacy. And I had nothing to do, I was afraid to exercise because, like I said, I would exercise groups and show them what to do. I just didn't want a crowd around me. I didn't mind a one person who I could like challenge and we could work together because I love competition. So if she was riding for 20 minutes, I want to ride for 22. And we work and encourage. And I would like message her and ask her, so did you eat chicken last night? No, good. And we would work with each other. I like that, but I don't like, you're in the gym and people want to talk about politics, people want to talk about the church and school. I ain't got that time. Tell me what we're doing today and how much calories we aiming for and let me work hard to achieve that. So I found that particular gym worked for me. There's some people who will go to the beach and do a little, we call it paddleball, and that works, that environment. So the thing is to find an activity. There's some people who know that they dance and they lose weight from that's dancing. So instead of calling it exercise, find an activity that can appeal to you. So it doesn't have to be a gym. And that's where I found a gym that wasn't too crowded at that time. And it worked for me well. And it fit into my schedule because there's some gyms that I can tell you, you go in and you got 40 big sweaty men there and they're just talking and they just want to look pretty. But a lot of those men that are big, you'll be surprised to see that they're not fit and healthy. They only have on a lot of weight, so they put on a lot of weight. But if you go to Lennox, then you realize the men blood pressure up. You want to know why? Because you see, they're taking all these things. And I know at least 2 big men that were working in the gym that had heart attacks, you know why? Because they're not eating well. And they think by bulking up, that's living healthy, but it's not necessarily so at all. And this thing called residual fat, Mr. Moderator, which around your heart, that is where the problem is. So you might have somebody that may look all right, but that fat around the heart. So when they did my full examination, a 45-year-old man, I was operating as a body age of 90. Now understand that, Sanka. When you have a body age of 90 in a 45-year-old body, that's dangerous. You are a couple steps away from stroke, heart attack, a whole set of things. So Lennox looked at me and said, Alf, what are we going to do? Now, when you have a counselor like that saying what we are going to do, it makes you think. It's not what you should be doing. I said, but let us discuss this. And we created, and I said we, a lifestyle plan. Mm-hmm. So Lennox would from time to time check in every couple of weeks to see how I was doing and say, okay, where are we going to go from here, Alf? So I also would encourage people to get a mentor. So everybody knows Matt Fingal, who is just like 10 pounds. And Matt would call me and Matt would say, he's called me Alfred. Alfred, how do you weigh? And I would find some excuse. Alfred, I asked you, how do you weigh? Okay, Matt, I'm so-and-so. How do you eat? I still feel I could cut out more. But he said, Matt, I cut out a lot already, but you could cut out more. And then Plastic Bag now would call and say, How is the clothes size? That's how this clothes thing started coming down. And the bike said, you know what we can do? I can buy a size 38 pants for you, and you must get it at the end of the 12 weeks. And that's what Plastic Bike did. I want people. So you have mentors, you have friends who can encourage you, and they set a target for you. And so the whole lifestyle thing ain't going to be difficult, especially if you've got a good team of people around you. Mm-hmm. Moderator, it can be a happiness.
Okay. It's 1:09. We finish at 1:15. We have a call. Let's go to this call. Good afternoon. You're on Brass Tack Sunday.
Hi, good afternoon. I'll be listening to the program. It was quite interesting. But one question that I would like to ask is, when you change your lifestyle in terms of your portion size and eating, your exercising, you've lost a lot of weight and then you plateau. What do you do in terms of getting past that plateau? For instance, I was like 249 pounds, came out to 201 and could not get past that point. More so rather than going below now, I'm starting to go back up. Yes, one of the reasons being in that I have become, you know, like frustrated, and I've started eating what I would say bad again, but I've gone back onto the track. But I need now to know, what do you do to get past the plateau when you plateau?
You see, partnerships and mentorship, ma'am, everybody that is on a program of health and lifestyle, you will reach that stage. In any profession, rest on this, you reach a point where you ask yourself, why am I here? This is where you need good mentorship, and you need that to readjust what you're doing. And it is okay for you to level out for a couple of weeks at one particular weight. You know, that's not the problem. The problem is you have to maintain that. So maybe even what you're eating now, you might have to adjust even more. And that's it. Don't try to eat the same thing, because you would have adjusted to get to 201. Make some further adjustments, because the body now has acclimatized to that. You have to trick the body. I'll give you an example. I was doing a particular exercise in the gym, and I realized the body said, but you aren't doing me nothing. When I changed the exercise and went into something called battle ropes, I started to burn more calories, because the body had gotten accustomed to that one particular exercise. So you have to change it up. You have to listen to your body. And you see something there, rest. Rest was not my friend, because I believed that you always had to keep going. And when you start to rest, the body also burns during that rest period, and it recovers. So you may need to look at your lifestyle and see where, if you're resting enough, what adjustments you need to make. And find a good mentor, somebody who you know will be honest with you, and not somebody to tell you, keep going. No, you want somebody to say, look, even that chicken might be adjusted some more. Look at it. Tweak it up. It can work.
I think something about the plateau. If you reach the plateau, and that's why I like to tie it to indices. If you reach the plateau and your blood sugar, blood pressure, everything is in the right place, then you have to maintain that plateau. Sometimes that's harder than getting there, because it means that you have to, like, you know, tweak what you're eating and so forth. But you know, it can be done, but there's no such thing as an easy way out. When you get the plateau, you can't relax. You just have to keep going.
All right, thank you. The use or non-use of bread. We can go be very quick with this, because it's 1:12. I want to deal with this, because Bajans love bread.
Okay.
So how can you tell people about reducing the amount of bread they use, or how to eat the bread? How do you eat bread anymore? Do you forget bread?
No, bread is something that we deal with all the time. White bread is probably the worst bread, because it's just flour, sugar, and some water. It turns into sugar quickly. Mm-hmm. Anything else is better. And then you got to pay attention to the serving size of the bread. So when it says one slice, two slices, it doesn't mean six slices. That's the first thing. So I get people to do the one slice and cut the bread in half and fold over, so that you have a sandwich.
Yes.
But just maybe with one slice, because you understand what you're doing. You have to do all these little tricks, huh?
Yes, in your mind.
In your mind. Because if you put the bread there, as you go up, whole wheat, whole grain is the best. Anything whole is great, because the whole grain is where the nutrient is. People tell me whole grain expensive. I say yes, but it's not expensive. We talk about eating healthy. Because if you buy a bag of whole grain bread for $13, whatever, but you're taking a slice at a time, that can last you nearly 2 weeks.
That's right.
But when you sit down and eat the whole thing in a day, you lick up.
You got about 2 or 3 sandwiches for that whole
week. For the whole week. So we got to really pay attention to labels, and we can do it. exercise, the fundamentals, anything we can do on that.
And gas, honestly, we save money going to the supermarket every day.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 1:14. We have less than 60 seconds to go. I'd like to thank everyone for coming here. And I'd like to read this last message. Good afternoon. Just did some macaroni pie for my sister. She's listening to the program, and she called and said she don't want it anymore. So we achieved something here. I'd like to thank my guests, Carl Alf Padmore, Celeste, as well as Janice and Mr. Lennox Prescott. We were looking at how we can do some serious lifestyle changes to really combat our health challenges, especially diabetes and high blood pressure, which are out of control in Barbados. We chose this time to do it because at this time, around crop over, we always eat anything at all sorts of hours, and we really have got to control that. This is Sanka Price. I hope you enjoyed the program, and I hope you've taken away something from this that you can use. God bless, and have a great week and a good crop over.